Broadcasting from the home of the Dodgers.
At the proud Dodger flagship station, we can't wait.
We got a home run.
This is the Petros and Money Show. With Petros Papadakis.
I brought my goggles.
And Matt Money Smith.
The voice of your
Chargers.
Listen on your mobile device using our free iHeartRadio app.
I don't gotta listen to this sh-.
You go back up on the hill.
Great sports talk.
All right, Hound.
That's why I'm emotional.
On the telephone?
What am I gonna do with this guy?
That's pretty sad commentary on us.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
I'm dead serious.
How much do you want to bet I could throw a football over those San Gabriel mountains?
Yeah, it's Petros and
Money.
How much
do you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains?
On AM 570 LA Sports, we are live for another hour and about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
At the BJ's.
Thank you.
In West Covina. Great crowd. A big thank you
thank
to
you.
Everyone that turned out. The Green family.
The Acuna family.
The Acuna family.
High five, Clipper guy.
High five, quarter zip.
Carbiner Jr.
Carbiner Jr., laptop.
Martin.
Laptop Paul.
Nathan, the chair salesman.
You need a nice office chair.
Nathan.
He's the guy.
And Clyle.
Yes, Clyle's here. There is no bigger Rancho Kook Quakes fan slash supporter slash booster in the world. If you want to know what's going on with the Quakes.
Clyle.
Lady right there in the red sweater. That's your ticket, the Quake information.
Real quick, let's do BAF, because this shot's been burning a hole in the table and not my chest.
Bushmills at five.
Matt and I did not expect to do a remote this week, but it is very gratifying for us.
Here we are.
With the new time change at 3 o'clock to see that there are still listeners of Great Sports Talk.
Great Sports Talk.
We appreciate all of your support for the last 13 years we've been on the air and onward into 2019. God bless each and every one of you listeners, even the prize hooker.
Even the prize hooker.
God bless each and every one of you guys. Please be careful in the new year. We need you to listen to the show. Thank you. Take a shot. Let's get out to Staples Center where the Clippers got it cracking. Tonight, the Clippers take on Donovan and the Utah Jazz.
Spider Mitchell and the Jazz.
Craig Bowler Jack in a fist fight with Seaman. Seaman's savvy, but Bowler's big.
Bowler's pretty thick.
Former linebacker at Kansas State. Tip off is at 7:30. We got the game right here on AM 570. Clippers are still in it.
I think the Clippers could win it.
There are lulls and there are highs. There are hills and gullies.
Right now they're in a gully.
One of the great play-by-play men in our city.
He's the best.
Is Brian Seaman.
Hot damn.
Out of Iowa, Des Moines adjacent, and he joins us on the Chevy Silverado celebrity headset at Staples Center on your Clipper broadcast. What's cracking, Seaman?
Now, a good memory there out of West Des Moines, Iowa, West Des Moines Valley to be exact. Good
How
for you.
We forget,
I know that you
Seaman.
Spent some time in El Bait Shop a couple of years ago, if I remember
I did.
Correctly.
Rumpelman
yeah.
shots for everybody in the streets. The funny thing was, like earlier in the day in Ames, I was freezing cold. But once I got some liquor on me in the streets of Des Moines, it was even colder, and I had my shirt open, and I was walking around like the werewolf.
I'm going to take a nap in this alley on this snowbank.
It's freaking awesome. Anyway,
you fit
Seaman.
Right in with the shirt unbuttoned. That's it. That's how it rolls in Des Moines, Iowa.
Everybody, loosey-goosey. That's my style. And you're either with the Hawkeyes.
Or?
The Cyhawks.
Or? The Drake.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Anyway.
During the relays, at least.
Hills and gullies, Seaman. This isn't a two-faced team, but why do they seem to have these lulls?
You know, that's a good question. The first lull that really happened was when Lou Williams was out, and I think we understood his importance to the team, and you could make the case that he might be the most important guy on the roster. This current one is a bit puzzling. You know, I mean, you lose in Denver, not a surprise. You come home and you see Blake Griffin with a buzzsaw, puts up 45 points or whatever it was, and then you've got Anthony Davis that puts in 46. You know, this losing streak seems to have, like, you could have in a vacuum a reason for it, but at the end of the day, you just got some guys that are not playing well right now, and I think you're seeing kind of the ebb and flow of a rookie season. A guy that I still have a ceiling as high as it was a month and a half ago in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he's going through it. You know, most rookies do it, and I think Shai is going through it right now, and it isn't necessarily physically. It's just a mental wall that I think he's still trying to get over. Also, on the other part of that is, this is the second time through the league for him, so people kind of know how to play him. I thought he was a big catalyst for the Clippers when they were leading the West. And then, you know, Avery Bradley's offense has been hot and cold, and they're still trying to figure it out, to be honest with you. What has saved them, what has made them competitive, is what will, I think, go down as, at least from a numbers standpoint, the best bench in NBA history between Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. Those guys have been incredible, and they've kept the Clippers in these games. They've got to find a way for everybody to work in concert and come away with a win here. But I feel good. You know, they have a chance to turn this homestand. It would be interesting if you told me you can go 3-1 or 2-2, and the two wins would be against Utah and Golden State. Call me silly, but I would take those two wins, and they have that first opportunity here tonight against Utah.
Brian, are they still playing the same way as they did at the start of the season? Because I know preseason, kind of the moniker or the mantra was Clamp City, and it was going to be defensive, and it doesn't quite seem like that's the identity of this team. So has that changed? Have they figured maybe what they are? Do you think they have an identity yet through halfway through the season?
Yeah, I think it's a great observation, because those first, and I'll use that, they were 15-7. They were leading the Western Conference when they did. And I just remember them being super physical, meeting people out at half court, meeting them above the three-point line, getting into their chest, making them uncomfortable. But I think they've gone away from that. The offense has continued to thrive, and I thought the offense and the defense would be married together. It has not been that way, and I think they have kind of changed their identity a little bit. They're an offensive team. I think that's what they are. I don't think that's what the coaches want them to be. You know, they come in today, depending on what website you look at, probably the fifth worst defensive team in the league. But the first 20 games, they were a top 10 defensive team. So they're going to be, my guess is, somewhere in between there. Their peak is probably being an average defensive team, and I would take that. If that is the case, if they're able to get back to that situation, I think not only do they make the playoffs, they'd have a chance to advance. But they've got to tighten the screws. And one thing I think I've learned anyway is that just because you have a collection of good individual defenders doesn't necessarily make you a great defensive team. And I think they're trying to figure out how to get everybody involved instead of just worrying about your guy. And I don't mean that to say that they're selfish. I just think you've got a couple of lockdown defenders that are focusing on their guy, but the team defense is suffering as a result. So I think they're going to find a way to get everything together. And I think I'd say by the end of the year, they'll be a mid-level defensive team. And with that offense, I think they're going to be just fine.
Well, last year, Doc Rivers got a lot of accolades. Brian Seaman joining us right now on the Petrosyan Money Show. Getting ready for that big Clipper Jazz game. Last year, Doc Rivers was getting geeked up for doing a great coaching job. Obviously, this year, the same, especially the way the Clippers started. What's his demeanor been like with this team and kind of the ebbs and flows of it? A lot of positive and a lot of negative.
It's almost all positive. You know, I've heard him say this is one of his favorite teams to coach. And, you know, everybody is there willing to learn. Everybody is on the same page. You know, he has said that repeatedly that this is one of those teams where every morning he wakes up, he can't wait to get into the gym, can't wait to get to work. I think he loves his team, and there's a lot that they can do with this team. And I don't think they've even really got to where they want to be from a consistency level, but there are some great pieces on this team, not only for now, but for going forward. And so I think he sees the big picture, but, like, let's be honest, they're going through it right now. They're 24-19. At no point in time at this part of the season did I think they'd even be close to 500. I thought they'd make a bigger run right about now and get to this point in a couple of weeks. So the fact that they've lost three in a row and they're still 5-6 games over 500, I think it speaks volumes for what they have done already. But there's no doubt they're not playing the same brand of basketball that I thought made them the most successful. Once they get back to that, I think everything changes for the better.
Brian, because just trying to figure out where they fit into the Western Conference puzzle, it is such a competitive conference this year. I mean, it really is crazy when you look down at who's sitting in that 12th and 11th spot, and you see kind of what Luka Doncic is the Mavericks are starting to find their identity and what they could be maybe by the time if they get into the playoffs. What what does it look like to you? Does it look like it's the Warriors and then a chasm? Does it look like there's, you know, a solid Western Conference, 1-6? Now that we're halfway through, what do you make of what the Western Conference playoff picture looks like this season?
A solid four up top in no particular order outside of Golden State. Then it's Denver, Oklahoma City, and Houston. Despite their injuries, Houston continues to thrive. And I think James Harden, hard to believe he's taking his game to another level. There have been people saying that he's the best offensive player ever. I don't think you can make a real lengthy argument to differ from that. After that, guys, you're looking at Portland, Clippers, Spurs, Lakers, Utah, Sacramento, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Dallas. All of those teams could make the playoffs, but there's only four spots for those guys. You're going to have, I'd be stunned if you didn't have at least two teams, if not three, finish over 500 not making the playoffs. It's a realistic possibility because that happened last year with the Clippers in Denver. It was the first time in 35 years that that had happened. It's going to be a sprint, if you want me to be very honest, which I think this is why these homestands are so important for the Clippers. The final 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season for all those teams that I just mentioned in the bottom half of the West, it is literally a 50-yard dash. You could win two games in a row and go from 11th to 5th, or you could lose two games in a row and drop out of the playoff picture altogether. So putting some pennies in the piggy bank now is going to be so key for the Clippers. They've got some winnable games on this upcoming road trip. I think they've got to take care of business because you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you've got to win your last three or four games. You go to that end of the year schedule and figure out, well, where is this team going to be? Where is that team going to be? You don't know where your health situation is going to be at. I promise you, the finish of this year is going to be – it depends on who you are. It's going to be as exciting as it gets for the fans, but it's going to be nerve-wracking for those of us who are trying to make it for the playoffs. So this is an important time. People can call this the dog days of the NBA, but when you look at the landscape of the West, the games here in January are just as valuable as the games played in mid-April. You're going to look back at a stretch at home where you either thrived or failed and go, man, if we would have just taken care of the house that week or those 2 weeks or those games, we'd be in a different spot right now. So it's going to be a fun finish and a photo finish even.
Seaman, I got to ask you, you're there every night and you see that high five line when they introduce the players.
Yeah, I've seen
and they
it.
Put like an adult in the high five line. I've been that adult in the high five line. And it's kind of humiliating because, you know these players don't really want to high five you and you're not on the team. You know, you weren't at shoot around earlier. Doc Rivers don't know your name. Do the people in the high five line look happy to you?
They are jazzed beyond belief. Now, this will go against the grain. My kids have been there, and so they love it.
Well, kids.
Yeah, they have a kid. But the adults love it. I can't speak for the players looking at the adults in the line and you know, how they go about it. You know, I think most of it is our high five. Sometimes a player will walk out with his fists curled, and so do you give him a high five or do you – fist bump that guy. Sometimes they take their time doing it, but the fans are jazzed, man. I tell you what, it's cool to be down there and see these guys kind of enter their arena, so to speak. But
like a guy with a button down on with like a Tobias Harris jersey over it.
Yes, that guy's always
on. Like, high five there. Give me a high five.
High five.
Hey, Montrez.
High five.
How about a high five for old Earl?
Low five. Low five for you, Boban.
I'd say middle five.
High five.
Well, thank you, Brian, for clearing that up, and God bless you. Have a great call tonight.
We're due for one. Have a good one, boys.
Darn right.
Yeah, Clippers.
Wear it, Jazz. F you, Ingles.
Yeah.
Crocky.
F you, curly-haired freak from Duke.
Yeah, you too, weirdo.
Your coach.
Your Frenchie.
Freak.
All of yous. Call you all out.
What?
Keyword.
Oh.
AM 570 LA Sports has your shot at $1,000. Now.
Let's do it right now.
Text the nationwide keyword RUN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's RUN to 200-200.
All right, text that. RUN to 200-200. We're live at the BJ's in West Covina. We want to see you if you're not already here, but we got a lot of people here already. We got cold beer. We got the Super Power Posse in the house. We're going to talk about the Dodgers' weird offseason in the next segment. Top story of the day, Matt's got it. And then a special guest on the back half of that.
Darn right.
We'll be right back.
Top story related.
Petros and Money Show right here on AM 570 LA Sports live in West Covina. We're still on the air. The Petrosen Money Show all the way until
still alive.
6:30 on the new schedule. We'll go to Clippers Jazz at 6:30 with fully functional employee Adam. A big thank you to Sweet James Bergener, Brian Seaman, Kenyon Martin, who was great on the show. A lot of fun stuff today, and we've had a good time with all the listeners here in West Covina. We still got prizes to give away, including the Clippers Warriors tickets with the opportunity to be in the high five line. And we did have a guy win multiple prizes today, but it wasn't our prize hooker.
It was not the prize hooker.
That wacky Bears fan back there.
Bear down.
Khalil Mack back there.
That is exactly right. Got a pair of Vans and a BJ's $50 gift card. Still got a pair of Vans to give away if you're in the area. You want to pop in. We're here until 6:25 when we hand it over to Adam for that Clipper pregame.
We are geeked to be here.
Because we're giving away a pair of tickets in the high five line. Spot in the high five line for that Clippers Warriors game. You're on the floor.
I think you realize that the high five line is humiliating, and that's why you continue to needle me.
So cool.
The truck nuts are outside, but it's dark, and they're covered by the veil of darkness in West Covina.
Oh, they're like the blood moon. They shine bright in all their redness.
In the parking lot here at Eastland Center in beautiful West Covina, California, we are having a fabulous freaking time. So thank you for being here. We have a lot more great sports talk for the people coming up, including this top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
Cates, can I get some Kenny Loggins?
Which one?
1979, this is it.
Wow.
1979, Kenny Loggins. I'm using this as a vehicle.
I was too.
To make sense of my anger here, P.
You're angry?
I'm angry. Now that the Bolts are out, I'm watching League Pass the other night, angry. Watching the MLB Network, angry.
We had Bowden on yesterday. He Bowden really
got
fired
me fired up.
Yeah.
Bowden got me fired up. Started digging around and got me thinking. The open of this Loggins song, P.
He can sing.
He can sing his ass off. And by the way, the cover of this single. Yeah, he's wearing a jumpsuit.
Why not?
Damn right he is. There's like a tie-dyed moon.
That's a blue-eyed soul there.
The opening of this song lyrically reads, "There have been times in my life I've been wondering why. Still somehow I'd believe we'd always survive. Now I'm not so sure." That's the opening three lines of this song, P.
You doubt the Friedman-Zeidi complex?
I do.
I mean Friedman?
I doubt Friedman, and I tell him the same thing, because let's go through what's gone out, what's headed out the outdoor, and what's come in the indoor.
In through the outdoor?
In through the outdoor. Let's talk music. They handed Joe Kelly $8 million per year, and damn do we love him.
We like him.
Love him.
He's from this area, i.e. adjacent. We're in the San Gabriel Valley.
You stay on that 10, Rancho Cook, there's your Joe Kelly.
We're pretty far inland, though.
Russell Martin.
Very
out.
Very old.
Yasmani Grandal. They were willing to pay him $18 million. All Yasmani has to do is say, "I'll take it." And now you've committed $18 million to that position. That's what you've allotted. That's your salary for that spot. Hey, we'll give this guy $18 million to play catcher. Instead, they got Russell Wilson at three. $3 million is all he is making. So you figure, okay, now we're looking at like net $15 million that we have not spent on a roster that we were willing to commit financially. Then you factor in that they traded Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig, one productive player, and Puig out. And that got some boos, I heard him. One productive player out, one half-season productive player made the All-Star team, Matt Kemp, and his giant salary
carried
out.
Carried the Dodgers through the beginning of the season when times were hard.
And what did we do? We were talking Vic off the ledge. And because I get awfully excited about what's new, what's next, I immediately...
You sure do.
I get my jump to conclusions, Matt, put it out in front of my door.
Yeah, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper.
I figure Bryce Harper's coming.
Kluber.
I'm going to jump to conclusions and figure that Bryce Harper is coming to the Dodgers. It all makes sense. It's all lining up. Okay, here's $21 million, $15 million, carry the one. There's your $32 million. Bryce Harper, no-brainer. This guy's going to be a Dodger. And now all of a sudden we're hearing, no, Dodgers are out. It's a Phillies, White Sox, Nationals race is what we're being told, P. And then you look, and what do you see every year? The Dodgers, oh, hey, you can put that thing on a loop as far as I'm concerned, damn it. You can bring the Loggins back.
It makes sense. Is this it? This is all you're going to do?
This is it? You lead the league in attendance?
Is this as good as it gets?
You break records year in and year out. And it's not just the tickets. It's the beers. It's the sodas.
The hats.
It's the dogs. It's the hats.
I buy hats and give them to people.
Every time. All of that.
And I'm broke.
The Dodgers grossed $522 million last year. Half a billion dollars is what the take. Well, it wasn't the take. It was the gross. A half a billion dollars. Back-to-back trips to the World Series. Since Mark Walter bought this team, $410 million, $410 million, $440 million, $460 million, $520 million last year.
Digging around in this, Matt, might not be very good for our health.
It might not be.
On your Dodger station.
You're right about that. But I'm simply asking.
Of course, I'm drinking an IPA. So.
When you hear the White Sox are only willing to offer Manny Machado a 7-year, $175 million deal, that's all it's going to take. You don't blow a call into his crazy agent and say, hey, look, when we told you we were out, we didn't know that Manny was going to be 7-175.
Well, where's he going to play? He can't play 30, can't play short.
Figure it out. You'll give it $200 million, and we'll figure out where you're going to play, Machado.
You're not going to play second.
I'll put you at second base, damn it.
You're not going to like that.
If you
hey,
look
Manny,
at,
I know how you were really proud of yourself and all, but now you're a second baseman.
This is very reminiscent, P, when you look at the Red Sox from last year, and this is why I bring it up, not as solely a negative.
Not solely.
But as perhaps, are the Dodgers lying in wait?
A cautionary tale?
Are they the Red Sox of last year? When they sat around and they waited it out and they waited and you're like, wow, the Red Sox going to do anything here? Are they going to scratch out a check or what are they going to do?
Slow played it.
Bang! J.D. Martinez, 5 years, $110 million. They waited the market out. They signed that guy for freaking $22 million a year. All he did was finish fourth in the MVP race, carried that team with Mookie Betts offensively.
That's positive.
To a World Series championship. And nobody thought 5 years, $110 million was going to get it done. So perhaps could it be? Because in what world does it not make sense for the Dodgers to sign Bryce Harper? In what world does that not make sense?
Well, in a world where Andrew Friedman doesn't like to spend a lot of money.
It's not his money.
He likes the food and he likes the prices.
Friedman, it's not your money. There's $522 million there and it's not yours. You earn a salary. You decide to scratch out that check to Bryce Harper. It's not yours.
I remember saying that to a Fox BA this year.
And?
Well, if I change your flight, it costs me a th- Shut up! It's not your money. It doesn't cost you any. Shut up!
Exactly right.
Yeah.
They're just lying in wait.
I did say that.
It's J.D. Martinez all over again. All of these stories about the Nationals and the Phillies and Harper and Gabe Kapler getting all oiled up
what
and
about,
doing curls.
What about
and
Harper
bonding.
To the Red Sox? $45 million, 1 year.
Zero chance. Let's go, Dodgers. They're lying in wait, P. I feel it. And I want David Vasse to confirm it. Because how do you stay four wins away from back-to-back World Series and recognize this guy wants to play for the Dodgers? They've traded away two outfielders.
And the fans want him.
The fans want it.
They're calling his name.
You would make it back on opening day. His salary, they would sell enough Harper jerseys, hats, T-shirts at the stadium store to make it back on that single day.
Fake
damn it.
Beards, near beer.
I want David Vasse to tell me it's true.
Clown masks.
They're the lying in wait to pounce on their prey. It's got to be. It's got to be.
Because that can't be it.
Can't be it. This can't be it. Joe Kelly, Russell Martin, that can't be it.
Joining us now. On the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Here to light the fire in Matt's hot stove. David Vasse!
Now somebody was barbecuing.
Oh, he's getting applause.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
a fuck. Yeah, Clyde, that's nice
stove
of you.
Talk. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. I don't say anything at
all. So why don't you an impassioned plea by Matt Smith. But will it fall on deaf ears in Chicago? Mark Walter's long, stylish gray hair. Oddly placed Dodger hat. Will he hear?
He wears it high.
High hat. Vasse is with us at the Real underscore DV MLB Network. Our reporter, of course, on AM 570 LA Sports, the best of the best. And
he was barking with the dog earlier.
Oh, he was on with the mad
dog.
He
was barking with the mad dog earlier.
That's why we had to string him out to the sideline. Spectrum Sportsnet LA as well. Hey, Dave, what's cracking?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, there were a few, I wouldn't say inaccuracies, but a few points that I disagree with Matt and his whole impassioned speech right there.
There's always inaccuracies, Dave. There's always inaccuracies.
But there's no room for inaccuracies when it comes to passion and
fire.
Well,
number one, why don't you're there with the people in West Covina, you could sample the fans' temperature on how much they really do want Bryce Harper. You know, doing a call-in show during the off-season, I was banned one night by the callers to stop bringing up Bryce Harper's name. I don't believe from the fans that have called Dodger Talk this off-season, there is that great of a groundswell of a cry for Bryce Harper to be signed by the Dodgers. I feel like you're really off base on that, Matt.
Why? What the hell? Why would you not want to sign Bryce Harper? It's not our money. It's not that money doesn't belong to the fans. They made $500 million last year. Let them spend it. It's their money.
Do you feel like Bryce Harper was the only thing standing in the way of the Dodgers winning the World Series each of the last 2 years?
I feel like it is a better option than anything they have in free agency available to them or on their roster right now.
All right. Do you love Bryce Harper's .211 postseason batting average?
Do I love it? No, but of course that is all circumstantial. Who's he facing? Who's batting around him? Who's protecting him? What are their averages?
Well, he was part of one of the most talented teams while he's been with the Nationals, maybe equally as talented as the Dodgers have had, and they have not gotten out of the first round, and he has only had one good postseason showing since being in the big leagues. Now, I will say this. The Dodgers are lying in wait money if Bryce Harper cannot get the deal that he wants to eclipse Giancarlo Stanton's 10-year, $300-plus million contract. The Dodgers are still waiting and have given themselves the option and the roster and payroll flexibility to offer him a 4- or 5-year deal that would pay him more than any other player in baseball a higher annual salary. So in some ways, they are lying in the weeds, waiting to see what happens.
What is the likelihood that Scott Boras would take a deal like that?
Well, Bob Nightingale is more plugged into this than I am or anybody else, and he told us on Dodger Talk last week, that the Phillies were going to meet with Harper in Vegas this past weekend, and he believed the Phillies were going to pay higher than anybody else was willing to pay to sign Harper. So you take that for what it's worth, but it looks like the Phillies, according to Bob Nightingale, are the odds-on favorite to give Harper the contract he's looking for.
Now, what I'm getting at, Dave, is this can't be it, right? This can't be it. There's no way it can end with Joe Kelly and Russell Martin after sending out Yasmani Grandel, gone. Yasiel Puig, gone. Like that, they can't go into a season with back-to-back World Series and be worse. That just makes no sense to me.
Well, two things, Money. There's a few layers to this. Number one, you haven't mentioned they're getting Corey Seager back, a healthy Corey Seager back this year, and they had zero production from him. He only had 2 home runs. If I would have told you at the beginning of the season last year that Corey Seager would only hit 2 home runs and Kershaw would win barely 10 games, would you have said they're going back to the World Series?
If you had told me that they traded for Manny Machado, I'd say, okay, I can see
it. And Manny Machado, signing him back would just put the Dodgers in a bad predicament. I don't think he did anything last year that would say, yes, commit the years and dollars to a player that really played with zero passion. And he was on the stage to really showcase his talents, and really he did a poor job of doing that. So when a player is on the eve of free agency and he plays the way he plays and really did not do much of anything for the Dodgers to help them get to the World Series, then, you know, I don't see how that plays into paying for the person and the player 7 years and $200 million.
Is he humbled enough by the free agency process? I know Russell Martin was traded, but is he humbled to where he plays second base for the Dodgers, like we said?
Well, I would say no, considering that he would like to play shortstop no matter where he goes.
But, Dave, I mean, this is, I guess, what I continue to get at.
Let me ask you another question, Money.
Yes.
Bryce Harper
nobody really played well in the World Series.
Do you believe 10 years of Bryce Harper is a wise financial commitment?
Hear Bowden on the show?
And I'll answer it with. I think it's all relative, right? I think for a team that makes $500 million a year, yes. Because I think you'll make it back, at the stadium with fans that wear his jersey, that wear his T-shirts, that get excited about arguably the
they
one of the most exciting
sell
players.
Out the place. They get
but that's what I mean.
Fans
so,
every,
so I think it's a wash.
Year.
So I think that's a wash. So unless you can tell me there's a better player that they can sign to plug into that
yeah,
position,
it's Nolan Arenado next year.
But why can't they have both? Why can't they have Arenado and Bryce Harper?
That just I mean, because Arenado is going to be looking for the same, if not more, that Harper is getting, and that just doesn't happen in baseball. And the reason why it doesn't happen is it's not the NBA. You can't just sign one player and automatically believe you're a playoff team or a championship contender. There's a lot of
but what when you, what about when you're this close, Dave? You know what I mean? Like when you're this close. When you've been to the World Series in back-to-back years.
Each of the last two World Series money, it's been left-handed pitching, neutralizing their bats. And Bryce Harper has had an up-and-down track record against left-handed pitching.
So is there an answer out there for that?
Yeah, there is. Unfortunately, the Marlins are being very stubborn and not coming off their asking price before the season for JT Realmuto. I firmly believe that the Dodgers made this trade for Russell Martin hoping to get a very good first half out of him. And at that point, try to revisit the trade with the Marlins and Realmuto and see where that goes. And then you have a guy that solves your right-handed problems. And also, there's another free agent out there that's available, A.J. Pollock, which when I was at the winter meetings, I was told the Dodgers did have interest in him and are just being patient to see where the market is.
The great David Vasse is our guest, and he knows so much. And he's so fiery.
A bark with the dog.
And he was barking with the dog. Hello, dog! Earlier today on the MLB Network. We saw it here at the BJ's.
We watched you Skype it up, Dave.
West Covina. I sent a giant photo. What is that? I don't drink clear liquor unless it's before noon. So whatever this is.
What do we look like, a couple Russians?
Somebody else has got to drink it. Chip Kelly, you got to drink this.
What is this? Zambuca?
Yeah, what am I? What do I look like? Some kind of freak? Anyway, God bless you, Dave.
I think it is Zambuca.
Tomorrow you have Dodger Talk?
We do have Dodger Talk. And I don't know if he'll go on the air, but I'm going to have a special studio guest tomorrow night, and he is one of the best drummers in all of music. He'll be hanging out tomorrow night. Greg Bissonette.
Oh, that guy from all those different bands, your friend.
Yeah, he was
many
David Lee Roth's drummer after he left Van Halen and is now Ringo Starr's touring drummer and was the guy that got the
hey,
drums
Dave, real
into
quick.
The Dodger
name,
clubhouse
name, name
for
six
Mike
Beatles
Piazza.
Songs, Dave. Dave, name six Beatles songs. Go, quick, name them. Six Beatles songs, go. Do it. Do it, Dave,
so
do
the,
it.
The unique Dodger connection with Bissonette is he got Piazza, the drum set, in the Dodger clubhouse.
Ah, good stuff.
So maybe he'll come on the air and tell that story tomorrow night. David Vasse.
So,
thank you, Dave.
At the Real underscore DV, also on Instagram. Thank you, Dave.
This is it. Make no mistake of me now.
What did you think about Vasse's retort to your impression?
I don't like his life grounded in reality. I want a dream. I want a world in which Nolan Arenado and Bryce Harper are Dodgers, damn it.
And you have that ability. Because you don't work for the Dodgers.
Exactly right.
Hey, so look, do I.
If you're not going to sign a guy for not performing in the postseason.
Don't sign any of them.
Seems like there's a guy that's been on the roster for quite some time.
Ooh.
All right. I didn't want to do that with him on the line.
We're going to do, we'll do the roundup next, then quick hits and dead and alive, right? What do you say? Or
yeah.
Wait, no, yeah.
No, I did what?
I think that works.
What are we doing?
Textoso Roundup.
And then?
Quick Hits, Dead and Alive.
I don't have to drink this, do I?
What is it?
I don't know. What is it?
What do I look like? I'm 41 years old.
That's it.
Who wants this? Come here, my drunken friend.
What do we got left? About 30 minutes still to come of live Petros and Money. Our first broadcast, live broadcast on location in the 2019 calendar year.
What a time
BJ's.
To be alive.
Isn't it great? BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in West Covina. A whole host of folks coming out to win themselves some gift cards, some Vans, a pair of tickets to see the Clips and Warriors go at it.
High five line.
That's right.
When
high
I
five
say,
line.
When I say hi, you say five. Hi.
Five.
Yeah.
See how excited they are?
You guys don't want to humiliate yourself down there.
Well, that's leading the witness. Are you excited to be in the high five line? See? When you say you don't want to humiliate yourself by being in the high five line, do you?
What if you sprain your wrist? Don't call Sweet James asking for help. I'll block you.
Thank you to Dave Essay and Brian Seaman. Each joined us
and
this
Sweet
hour. Sweet James last hour along with Kenyon Martin.
That's right. He was great.
And Doug Gottlieb got us going in
the first hour
of the show. So big thank you to all of our guests and especially our executive producer, Tim Cates, who was able to corner Kenyon Martin, who was in our studios doing a broadcast for SiriusXM, and ask him to come on our show as a little bit of a thank you for Tim setting him up there in the studio, and he was fantastic.
A lot of support and support from Tim Cates back in the studio, and he better since he's not here in West Covina rubbing elbows with the people. All right, it's time for a little Textoso Rodeo Roundup. Some of you have the Textoso line. I don't know if we're still playing R. Kelly.
Yeah, turns out we are.
The Secret Textoso.
Textoso. Honorable Mansion Rodeo.
Listen, we got Me Too'd pretty heavy yesterday.
We sure did, Kate.
For our guest selection. And then I screwed up his careers with Randall Cunningham. I mean,
not really.
Not really.
He was a Viking at 40.
Yeah, it was a little odd. And we got Me Too'd pretty hard. And now Kate's is sitting here saying that it ain't no big deal to have R. Kelly.
Nah, we got it. Name six Beatles songs, kid. All right, that's enough.
The Secret Textoso line is brought to you by Chevrolet and our local Chevrolet dealers and my truck nuts outside, which are hanging in the dark right now.
Can see them from here.
Pumping testosterone into my Silverado. You got a picture? Hey, don't go showing everybody my license plate number, all right? I got enough problems.
It's not even tied to you. It's to some Chevy exec.
Oh, go ahead. Do whatever you want.
There you go.
I live in Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
Exactly.
So, Petros, and this goes back to an earlier talk that Matt and I were having about if you're really a Rams fan, you'll go get Ram horns embedded into your skull, plastic surgery style, there's a Jamaican guy that did it named Harry Toddler. So it's been done. So, if you're a Ram fan, you really want to show people you're a Ram fan, I think that's a pretty good thing to do.
Seems a bit excessive.
Well, here's a text. It says, so Petros, if I was a Raiders fan, to be an Ultimate fan, do I gouge my eye out?
Yes.
And wear a patch?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yes, you do.
But don't you try to sue us when you gouge your eye out. It's your problem. Here's another text. Why the Bourbon Street tattoo, P?
Now that's a great question.
Why not?
Why ask why?
A-hole. Don't you like bourbon? Don't you like traveling on the streets? What's your problem? Sounds like you got a problem, not me. You're the one with a problem, a-hole. Moving on.
You're the one that's got a problem with the high five line.
The high five line, I've been in the high five line and it's humiliating. That's why I have a problem with it. Matt, you know what? I'm going to put this to bed right now. Matt.
I'm not going in the high five line.
Yes or no question, Matt.
Yes.
You ever been in the Clippers high five line?
No.
Yeah, okay. Ask me that same question.
Hey, P, you ever been in the Clippers high five line?
Yes, it was humiliating. Here's another question. Why does the station limit winners to once a month? Tired of listening to this a-hole winning.
We are with you. 100%. It's because our promotions team is baked out of their gourds and they forget to bring the paperwork with them.
All they do, look at them. They sit in the back and look at them. They're all Instagramming each other like 12-year-old girls.
They're gramming it up. They're busy gramming it up.
These guys are supposed to be here to protect us.
Print out the release.
What if freaking Beard McGee here wanted to take me out with that beard?
He's going to take you out because that's a hell of a beard.
Old Vapor Victor here is not going to help me to the right.
No, they're going to gram it.
Tired of these guys.
They're going to video that damn thing.
God, do something.
See my retweets?
Why are you so drunk? Stop coming up to me.
No, we're on the air.
I'm doing the show.
God, sir.
This is our job. Moving on to another text. I can't hear you when I'm wearing these headphones. You're making a fool out of all of us.
Sold out to Chevy.
You guys want to give Vasse a boner? Mention the Dodgers getting Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dave, this has been 3 years in the making.
We're going to get Arenado. That's what he wants.
Wait till Arenado's available.
So, no, would you rather live in a
All right, everybody. We'll be right back with more great sports talk.
That's it.
I mean, we have a lot of angry Dodger stuff. We have good stuff between Vasse and Money, great points. We have Mr. Dodger payroll DV. We have Money's getting beat down verbally.
It's hard to argue with the facts.
We have when did Vasse become such a yes man?
Oh, boo. Dave's not a yes man. He's gotten yelled at plenty of times by the Dodgers.
We have an amen, Matt. A lot of reaction to that.
Yeah. The fans, they want the Harper.
I don't know, Matt.
I want that hair. I want that hair here. I want Bryce Harper gel. I want Bryce Harper pomade being sold in the Vaughn store. That's what I want.
Here's one for you, Matt. One. Did Cates hang that sack on your truck? It's crooked. We'll be right back with your quick hits and your dead and alive guy birthday of the day, and then Clippers.
Oh, and I got the douchiest tweet in the history of Twitter.
And the douchiest tweet in the history of Twitter coming up next.